It's 7:33. I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown. Governor Tomlin lifted the state of emergency for 9 counties on Friday. It's been about 7 weeks since 300,000 customers in those counties lost access to clean water after a chemical leaked into the Elk, a river upstream from the intake to West Virginia American Water's treatment plant. Then there are the folks in Budd and Alpoca, an area of Wyoming County that's remained on a boil water advisory that's been in effect since September. But for several towns in McDowell County, limited access to clean water seems to be a way of life. In the first of two reports, Jessica Lilly talks to customers about the problems they face.
It's a basic human need. There's food, clothing, shelter, and water. How long could you go without clean water in your home? Governor Tomlin issued a state of emergency in 9 West Virginia counties for almost 7 weeks. The declaration dispatched the National Guard to assist and deliver clean water for the affected residents. But for the town of North Fork, a boil water advisory since July of 2013 didn't get any attention and has not merited a state of emergency.
We usually have to do bottled water because we don't drink it at all. Even on good days, we don't ever drink the water here.
Nicole Bright lives in North Fork with her husband and 2 children. Including the active advisory, the town of about 180 customers has been on 7 boil water advisories since 2009, some lasting for months. It's been an ongoing issue for years.
That's not how it's supposed to be. This is like third world country or something.
Bright welcomes me into her home and explains that the white plastic buckets stacked at the door are for holding water. The family has to be prepared for the next time they go without water.
Madis, she's small, so she bathed a lot in the sea. But here's some more water jugs. But as far as us, we had to go to like my grandma's, or, and here it is. And also, it,
Bright taps on another stack of plastic containers piled in the hallway just outside the bathroom. This stack is to flush the toilets. You see, here, the biggest challenge is having water at all.
The water, it goes off pretty often and stays off for about, last time was 27 days. And it's real hard to do with the kids going to school and cleaning and washing clothes and cooking and dishes. It's just really hard.
Bright says this time she lost water on January 13th, and it remained off for more than 5 weeks.
It's always clear like it is today, but usually, before it goes off or anything, it'll be real dirty looking, and then it'll be orange.
For Bright and other residents in North Fork, losing water is so common that her family now has a routine when she does laundry, brushes her teeth, and other everyday tasks. To do the dishes, she first goes to the front porch, and then
get the water, then you come in, you take 5-gallon buckets and pour it into a little bitty pot, and then we heat it up, which usually takes about, 45 minutes or something to do to fill them up and get enough water in there to wash and rinse.
Added expenses include bottled water, paper plates, and travel. Still, she tries not to complain.
3 or 4 days, yes. When it's out for a while, we do call, especially when you're able to get off the hill and not see anyone working on it. Now, my neighbor, she'll call them every 5 minutes. That's why I try not to give them such a hard time, because Lord knows I know she does. So I try to be nice, and then I'll call the neighbors.
The water system operated by the town of North Fork is outdated, and the filter needs to be replaced. So employees have to flush the system about every other day, causing the pressure to drop, especially for customers like Bright, who live at higher elevations.
It seems like sometimes when you live in a place like this, you're not heard, as well as you would be if you were somewhere else in a different town or something like that. Here it's like, okay, you're in North Fork, so what, you're in McDowell County. What do you expect? That kind of attitude.
Water for North Fork will eventually come from the McDowell County Public Service District, but that's not expected to happen for years. The PSD is phasing in an expansion of service, and North Fork is part of the second phase. Bids for Phase 1 go out next month. In the meantime, North Fork residents remain without access to clean water and on a boil water advisory. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in North Fork.
as West Virginia is experiencing yet another winter storm. A new satellite with a connection to the state launched into space recently, and it's hoped it will help better predict weather patterns. At the NASA facility in Fairmont, right off of Interstate 79, a group of third-grade students from Harrison County gathered to watch the launch of the Global Precipitation Measurement Satellite. These students participated in activities with NASA to learn more about the satellite and how weather patterns take shape. One of those students is Lindsay Sylvania.
I'm really excited to see a launch because I've never really seen one before, and I've been wanting to see one for a while, so that would be really cool to see one.
This satellite was built and developed by computer software engineers at NASA and at the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency. It launched from Japan, and Lindsay and other students got very excited when it shot into space. Lindsay's dad just so happens to work for NASA. He's on the GPM team as a project manager. Eric Sylvania says perhaps the most important fact about this mission is that it's trying to research something everyone cares about, the weather.
From my perspective, when I wake up in the morning and I wonder whether kids are going to have a delay or if the school's going to be closed or if the roads are going to be good, all of what NASA is doing is building upon what's been done in the past to help us get better information and then get that information out to the public so we can make better choices.
It took a great deal of time to get this project launched. No pun intended. Eric Sylvania says NASA started working on it 5 to 6 years ago. Then, after the satellite was built, it had to be taken to Japan for launching. Sylvania says the software used in the satellite was developed in Fairmont.
The things like science, technology, mathematics, all the things that make up STEM and engineering are things that can be exciting and can be fun. And it's not just sitting down and doing math problems or algebra or calculus or what's physics and all that. Once you learn the fundamentals and the basics, putting all that together and applying it and then seeing an actual product like we're going to see today launched and the application that product has and the benefit from that, that's a huge thing.
Another person who worked on the project is Brian Cox. He says this satellite will use radar and microwave technologies to detect information on cloud structures. It can detect rain and snow and transmit that information to Earth.
And for me to be a part of this, to have worked on something and to help make sure that it operates correctly, I mean, it's just important because of it being able to measure landslides and floods that will help people's lives and help protect people and help meteorologists better forecast.
The satellite is about the size of a fire truck, and it's twice as heavy. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:41. In a landmark decision for the state's oil and gas industry, Pennsylvania's Supreme Court struck down key provisions of the state's controversial gas fracking law last December. It ruled that towns can regulate some aspects of drilling within their borders. That means the battles over fracking could take on a local feel. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports that in one Pittsburgh suburb, the next stage in the battle may have already begun.
Fred Cardillo stands on a steep hill overlooking a snowy field. He grew up down the road, tending the pigs and chickens on his grandfather's farm.
This property here is used for pasture. We keep the steers here. We bring the steers up. And there used to be an oil well down there, right down over the hill here.
This hillside is in South Fayette Township. It's about 10 miles west of downtown Pittsburgh. When Cardillo grew up here, it was a coal mining and farming community. Now it's dotted with new subdivisions with names like the Berkshires and Sterling Ridge. Cardillo leased his property for drilling about 10 years ago. This was in the very early stages of the Marcellus Shale gas rush, so he only got a few $100s for his gas rights. Then came a land rush, and prices for gas rights skyrocketed. Cardillo's gas lease expired a few years ago, and soon after that, the gas company came back.
And they came to us with another lease. I think it was $2,000 or $3,000 an acre. But right at that time, South Fayette banned drilling, so we ended up not getting anything.
Actually, the municipality never banned drilling. But it did greatly restrict whether landowners like Cardillo could allow drilling on their land. It all started around 2010, during the height of the gas rush. Landowners were leasing their properties. But there were some people in town who wanted nothing to do with gas drilling.
There was people going to the meetings that were just mostly professionals, mostly new residents of the township. And they were adamant about no drilling. They didn't want any drilling at all.
He says the opponents of drilling accused him and others who'd leased their land of being greedy landowners. One of Cardillo's neighbors says his farm stand was boycotted because he'd leased his land.
And it started getting ugly.
I don't know if ugly is the right word. I mean, definitely people have different opinions about what's going on.
Joseph Horowitz is a township supervisor, and he's one of the new breed of residents in South Fayette. He's a lawyer who moved with his family here for the same reason as a lot of other people.
The schools, they're excellent.
But with the prospect of drilling coming to the township with its truck convoys and round-the-clock operations, Horowitz decided to run for office to oppose drilling.
When it first came up, people were outraged at the idea that, you know, right behind their $400,000 house, there'd be drilling. And, I understand why people would feel that way.
With three new anti-drilling commissioners on its board, the township adopted a zoning ordinance that limited drilling to a handful of industrial sites. But those sites are so close to protected areas that there might not be anywhere in town where drilling is actually allowed. Again, Fred Cardillo.
They'll say you can drill here, but once you go there, you have a stream too close or you have a house too close. So realistically, you can't drill anywhere.
The gas industry thinks these types of laws are too restrictive, and that's why it opposed local drilling laws when the state was crafting Act 13, its landmark Marcellus Shale law. Act 13 preempted local drilling laws, like South Fayette's. But in December, the Supreme Court declared that part of Act 13 unconstitutional. A plurality of judges found this part of the law violated the state's Environmental Rights Amendment, which guarantees clean air and pure water. The Supreme Court's decision is subject to further review, but for now, the state can't ban local ordinances. But that doesn't mean South Fayette's new law will stand, says Ross Pfeiffer, a law professor at Penn State. Municipalities can set certain limits on drilling, like when and where it can take place. But Pfeiffer says they can't write laws that go too far.
If they are using zoning as a way to completely prevent development, I think it's more likely that that ordinance is going to be challenged, and I think the municipality may have a difficult time defending that zoning ordinance.
And South Fayette's law faces a legal challenge from one landowner and a drilling company. According to research by Penn State, there are 85 municipalities with gas drilling ordinances already on the books, and more may seek to do what South Fayette did, says Pfeiffer. That may already be happening. Several municipalities in drilling-heavy Washington and Butler counties will be discussing new drilling ordinances this month. But the movement may go in another direction altogether. Robinson Township in Washington County has two new pro-gas supervisors. One of their first orders of business will be overturning a local law that puts restrictions on gas drilling. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Bob Powell. From Morgantown, I'm Beneduccio. Good morning.